There used to be a frozen pizza company, Tombstone Pizza. You may have seen it. And their little advertisement, the little hook was, what do you want on your tombstone? Pepperoni, cheese, sausage, whatever. Or it could be go the other way. What do you want on your tombstone as far as your epitaph? Let me just kind of think about that today, about what you might want as your epitaph, your being remembered by. W.C. Fields' tombstone and says, frankly, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. You know, kind of humorous there. Brother Larry, Will Rogers walked by a tombstone. And it says, here lies a lawyer and an honest man. And Will Rogers says, must be two guys buried there. Sorry. One of my favorite epitaphs was in Vermont. I think I may share this with you. Whenever we travel, we like to tour cemeteries. That's kind of crazy, but a lady buried in the early 1800s, born in the 1700s. It says she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. Quotation in the Book of Mark where the Lord tells the woman who's pouring the perfume on him, and she's being criticized, and he says, she's done what she could to anoint my burying. The poor you have with you always, so don't get so upset about spending this money right now to honor me. I want to read you a resume that's found in the Bible. He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Anybody know who that is? He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Now, when I do a resume about myself, I pump that thing up. I put all the good stuff in there I can. And you read a resume, you say, well, kind of cut it in half there. You know, he didn't exactly invent penicillin, but maybe use penicillin. But but this resume here was written by the Holy Ghost. It was not written by the one that's about here, but it's written by the Holy Spirit. Book of Acts, we find that Luke penned it down, but the Holy Spirit gave it to him to talk about a man named Barnabas. A man named Barnabas. So for a little while, I'd like to think with you together about this man, Barnabas, who was a good man. Now, we think in terms of good being, well, not that great. You know, good, better, best. But when you look at the Bible, when it says good, that's really great, stupendous. Man makes a car, brilliant, outstanding, greatest. God makes the world, it was good. God makes man, it's good. You know, we say sometimes it's an understatement, but all you need to say from the standpoint of God is it's good. The rich young ruler, good master. And the Lord says, why callest thou me good? Is none good but God. We find that this term good has a little bit higher estimation than perhaps that we might see in our day-to-day conversation. So let's just think some things about Barnabas. Barnabas shows up on the scene in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. We find early on the apostles were gathered together, and they on their own voluntarily were contributing resources to the church. Some would say that this was a communistic type of approach. Well, no, it was voluntary. They felt like they wanted to. Nobody said you got to do it. Nowhere in the Bible it says you have to give all you have to the church. We find, though, if you say you did, you better have done it. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. You don't want to lie to the Holy Spirit, but you're not required. But they did. They felt so enthusiastic about the church and felt so good about wanting to help others that were less fortunate than they were, that many gave their all. And Joses, who was by, this is verse 36 of Acts, the fourth chapter. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought it the money and laid at the apostles' feet. Point one about Barnabas, he was a generous person. He wasn't tight-fisted. He sold land. He could have kept it back, given half of it, did whatever he wanted to with his. But he chose to give it to the church for the use as far as the common need of those who were poor, who needed help, and what the situation was. And that's the first point I think we look at Barnabas. As far as being a good man is a generous man. Someone who is not, this is mine, and I'm not going to let it go until I have to. Brother Sonny Powell has a saying, says you save all you can it or something, and then you sit on the can. Anyways, it's like you're just wasting your time trying to save all everything you have, and you're not. As somebody once said, never saw a U-Haul behind a hearse. How much did he leave? He left it all. At some point, you're going to leave it all. But I think that Barnabas was one who realized that, and he was a generous man. Now, second thing here, listen to what his name they gave him was. It said, which being interpreted, the son of consolation. He was a consoler. This also means he was an encourager, that he would help people along. As we look at the life of Barnabas, we realize he was not one who wanted glory to himself. Somebody once said, there's no limit to what you can accomplish as long as you don't care who gets the credit. If you're trying to hold all the credit to yourself, and you want your picture in the paper, and you want everybody to look at you, you're not going to get a lot done. Not going to be a lot accomplished. But if you're willing to share and let other people get credit and get the glory out of it, and all you care about is that the job gets done, from a church standpoint, that God's name is glorified, if that's all you care about, you're going to get a lot done. And I think that Barnabas was like this. He was an encourager, and he was a cheerleader for those around him. He would help out others. Here's an example. In Acts, the ninth chapter, verse 26, and when Saul was coming to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, and all were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Great conversion. Road to Damascus, bright light, turned around 180 degrees. Instead of wanting to kill Christians, he wanted to be one. He wanted to serve the Lord. But he's got a problem. Everybody hates his guts. That is a problem. That is a deterrent now to serving and to working with the Lord's people. If everybody's afraid of you and hates you and can't stand you, that is going to kind of hold back your ministry just a little bit. Someone was talking about a politician here just recently. He says, why do you reckon everybody hates him the first time they meet him? Another guy says, well, it saves time. It saves time. But if you're like this, like the Apostle Paul was, Saul at that time, and everybody disliked you, you wasn't going to go very far in the service of the Lord. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how he had been spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. They accepted him. Barnabas put his reputation on the line. Barnabas says, Saul is a good guy. I can vouch for him. I know what has been done for him. I know his interest in the things of the Lord. If Barnabas had been used to wanting to keep it all to himself, he could have said, forget this, Paul. He could have said, I don't think he's a good person to service here. If his motivation was to have the glorious day with Barnabas, certainly he could have said things like that. But all Barnabas cared about was getting things done. And if the Apostle Paul was going to do a good job, then let's speak up for him and bring him on the job. Remember what John the Baptist said? They try to drive a wedge between John the Baptist and his disciples and Jesus Christ and his disciples. And they says, look here, John. Jesus' disciples are baptizing more than your disciples. What are you going to do about that? Let's have a baptizing contest. Let's see who can baptize the most the next week here. No. John says, he must increase and I must decrease. He is the bridegroom. I am the friend of the bridegroom. And always John the Baptist had the proper relationship here. I'm always going to be number two to Jesus Christ. As we look at Barnabas' life, he was always going to be kind of the number two guy. He was going to be Robin to Paul's Batman. He was going to be Tonto to the Lone Ranger. He was going to be the sidekick. He was not going to be in charge. And that was okay with him. Why? Because he was a good man. He was a good man. He was generous. He was a consoler. He was an encourager. That to me is a good mark of a person to live like that. Once again, if it's your idea and your concept to get all the glory to yourself, then you're never going to really be working in God's kingdom as you should. Let's fast forward now to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. We go to Antioch. City of Antioch, 500,000. The third in the Roman Empire there, behind Rome and Alexandria. Then came Antioch. Big bustling place, and a church got established there. Made up of Gentiles, mainly. And good word goes back to Jerusalem. Some good stuff's going on. We got a Christian church up here. We don't know exactly the details of it. Let's send somebody up there to check it out and see what's going on. Let's send Barnabas. Let's send Barnabas. In the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And the tithes of these things came into the church. The ears of the church was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. When he came and seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that they, with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. And then departed Barnabas for Tarsus to seek Saul. If you have a map in the back of your Bible, you may want to look at this to see where Antioch was, or Pisidium, and then see it was about 15 or so miles from the Mediterranean Ocean, the Great Sea, as they called it. But it was 50, 60 miles from Tarsus, where Paul was, Saul of Tarsus. And so seeing the opportunity here, Barnabas didn't just hold it in and says, well, this is my territory. Now we're going to have some churches here, and they're going to have Barnabas' name on it. My fingerprints are going to be all over this thing. And everybody's going to look back and say, look how great Barnabas was. No, Barnabas says, I need help. I need somebody to help me. I can't think of anybody better than Paul to help me. And so he goes and gets Paul to come back and help him. Barnabas was always ready to share, ready to encourage, ready to be able to share with other people in order to get the job done. Now, here is the resume we have here. It's contained in this record of what happened then. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith. I'll submit to you, he was generous, and he was a good man. We mentioned how good as we see it is maybe not to the level of good as the Word of God shows it. He was motivated by being morally excellent. He is motivated in order to do things correctly. I don't know how uptight he got. I don't know how much he would be a stickler for saying so straight that you'd fall back. I think he could work a good balance there. But I know that he is motivated by being good. If I could choose what I wanted on my tombstone, not pepperoni or cheese, on my tombstone, I'm like, he was a good man. That's okay. He was a good man. Do y'all know any good men or good women? You can think about that and say, that person's a good person. Can you say much more than that? Jen has got a friend. I'll give you her name. They call her Anna Goodwoman. Anna Goodwoman. She's always helpful. She's always willing to do things that are helping other people. And I think that's a good term. If you can have a reputation like that, John, Tom, Bob, whatever, good man, Barbara, good person, good woman, that's a great thing to be said about you. Not a thing. You can't get much better than that. For he was a good man. He was a good man and full of the Spirit and full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I think what this really means is he was born in the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of these things are marks of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But Barnabas let him go. Barnabas used them. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Sometimes we may feel like we should be doing some things. Things would be very appropriate, and it was, no, not now. Later. Not now. We'll wait. I think Barnabas was a doer. Barnabas was one. He said, okay, this needs to be done from a spiritual standpoint. Like Larry the Cable Guy. Get her done. Get her done. I think that was Barnabas' idea. And I think that as he looked at being full of the Holy Spirit, being full of it means that you let it out, that you demonstrate, not in a bragging sense, not in a sense that you want any credit for and somebody to pat you on the back, but you're making use of it, that when the Holy Spirit hits you and you're motivated and you're having it go out or stay in, you utilize it. You put it to work. He said, here's something that needs to be done. And the Spirit says, tells me to do this. I can either stay here or I can go get Paul. Getting Paul is going to help. Getting Paul is going to help the kingdom. Getting Paul, we're going to have two preachers here. And you know, I think we kind of lost that. Back early on, the Lord did send them out two by two. Sometimes our preachers now become lone wolves. You know, I mean that in a sort of good way, but then maybe not quite as good a way as it could have been. But Paul and Barnabas were a team. Paul and Barnabas went together. The Lord sent them out 70, two by two, that when one fell, the other might help them out along the way. Now, they did have a falling out along the way, if you recall. John Mark went. Barnabas' nephew went with him on the first preaching trip. He kind of wimped out. He got tired, disheartened, left, went back home. Got ready to go a second trip. And Barnabas says, let's take John Mark with us. Paul said, no way. Oh, no way. We're not going to take him. He'll fail us again. He's let us down once. We see Barnabas and his encourager and his consolation. He says, let's give him a second chance. He failed. Yeah, he failed. Let's give him a second chance. And Paul says, uh-uh. And the Bible says the contention was so great among them that they split. They had a parting of the ways. Were the Bible characters human? Or is this all some big fictional character like the Romans or the Greeks had? No, they were human. They got mad sometimes. They had a fuss. They quit speaking to one another. Not to be imitated. That's not a good example, but it happened. But as I look at it, I think maybe that Barnabas was more in the right than Paul was. But the end result was two preaching teams hit the field instead of one. You could have had Barnabas and Paul, but you had Barnabas and John Mark, and then you had Paul and Silas going out. So something did come out of a little something bad. But I think that was just a mark of Barnabas being this good man and being this man who would give somebody a second chance. You might say the benefit of the doubt. You know, the Lord gives us second chances. The Lord gives us the benefit of the doubt. The Lord forgives us all through Christ's ministry. He gave examples of forgiving. 70 times 7. That's 490. 491, you zap them. No. This is one example of hyperbole in the Bible. Hyperbole. There's just an exaggerated example there to make a point. It just means forgiveness should have no limit, as the Lord has for us. This forgiveness for us has no limit. I think that Barnabas had earned and learned that example there of forgiveness with John Mark. A good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Barnabas had faith. That's a gift of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift, mark of grace. We're saved through faith and not in ourselves. It is a gift of God. Certainly, faith was something that motivated Barnabas and caused him to be able to have this descriptor of being a good man. Barnabas, I think, experienced much of the suffering the Apostle Paul did. He went through some bad times too. We say, well, why did this happen to me? Why am I going through some bad times here? Why are some of my friends and my family having afflictions or having trouble? Well, look at the Bible characters who gave their all in the service of God. They had some bad times too. So why should we whine? Why should we say, why me, Lord? I know it's a natural thing to do, and I do it from time to time too. But we should realize that suffering is a part of this side of eternity. I asked my doctor one time, I says, Doc, how long am I going to live? He said, you're going to live forever. Some on this side of eternity and some on the other side of eternity. I like that. But suffering is part of it. I think Barnabas shared some suffering because of being with the Apostle Paul. But also shared the right attitude. Recall when they came to Lystra, I think, that the people thought that they were Greek gods. They thought that Barnabas was Zeus, I think, and they thought that Paul was Mercury. They bowed down to worship him. But both of them said, stand up. We're like men like you. We're not gods. We're serving the true and living God, but we're not God. The right attitude. I think there's so many people in the religious world today which will let you worship them. If you want to worship one of the big name preachers, they'll let you. They'll let you send money to them. They'll let you bow down and worship them, basically, because there are the avenue in their mind that you achieve heaven. And therefore, they are worship as much as Christ is. Paul and Barnabas says, we'll have none of that. We're going to worship the true and living God, not us. We are only the messenger that's telling you what's been done for you. He was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Last point, I think, is that having a good name is so important. That's all you got, is having a good name. In business, if you become known as a cheat, somebody who is going to not fulfill the things you promised to do, you're going to lose business. You may gain in the short run. You may make a little money on this contract. But in the long term, word gets around that you are not somebody that should have business done with them. Solomon wrote, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. One of us had that good name. And if you ever want to look at an example of who to live your life after besides the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, put on your short list Barnabas. Barnabas is one who was known as the good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. You could see it in his life. Now, he wasn't somebody going around saying, hey, look at me, hey, look at me. Look at Paul. Look at the disciples. Look at other people. Don't look at me. I'm just here trying to do the best that I can. Like the woman in Vermont. She had done what she could. If we can come to the end of our ways and say that we've done what we could, you can't get any better than that. You can't beat that. That's kind of the ultimate, to be known as a good person who did what they could. May God bless you. You got a hymn selected, or Brother Ron?